Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome back for our second mentoring session with Deb and Jerry Pitzrick, owners of Pitzrick and Associates Incorporated. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Nancy.
I'm so glad you're back. In our last session, we kind of heard a little bit about your backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Jerry moved around a lot, experienced some segregation down in Florida with his family, and your dad was in construction, and your mom was a very adventurous soul. And so as your dad popped up and moved to different places through his work, she was a real trooper and got on board and went along mm-hmm. with you. And you were the only son.
Right. Yep. I was an only child.
Only child. Okay.
Not a spoiled one, though.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Okay. And Deb grew up in Minneapolis and had moved down the block with her family,
about 14 blocks. 14 blocks, yep.
All right. And
to the day she died, my mom talked about that too.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, that's the trauma of the move. That's right. Yes.
That's how she framed it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, right. That's funny.
Right.
Not much of a risk taker there.
No.
Yeah, that's why I'm really surprised with your level of risk taking with Jerry. All right.
Now, am I the risk that she's taking, or is it in what we do?
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
Okay. So we're learning. What I appreciate about the entrepreneurial path is the elements of entrepreneurship kind of are embedded in our growing up, where we notice what our parents are doing and how they're providing for the family. And it's interesting that you went to the U and got a civil engineering degree and are in construction. Mm-hmm. You know, fits with kind of your family background. And Deb stretched way out of the household and said, you know what, I'm doing my own thing here.
Yeah.
I'm working. And you worked your way out in different positions, but found kind of that you're good at marketing, but also you're really good at operations.
Right.
And you're good at understanding how marketing works and how finance works, and how to kind of blend the two together.
Right.
So as we're kind of moving further into this conversation, how did you meet?
Well, we knew each other. We had a common group of friends. There were right. probably 25 of us or so that got together fairly regularly on weekends. And so Deb and I just ran into each other probably 3-4 times in that group. Mm-hmm. But we never said any more than just hello or being polite to each other, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then in 1972, in the summer, I went backpacking to the West Coast with two friends and myself. And when I got back home, I called up John Brister and said, hey, what's going on tonight? It was a Friday night or something. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, a bunch of us are going down to the Aquatennial Parade downtown.
Yeah, the Torchlight Parade.
The Torchlight Parade. And John didn't drive, so whenever you talk to John, he always said, does anybody need a ride, thinking that he might need a ride. And he said, no, I've got a ride, but Deb Turner, I think, needs a ride. And so why don't you give her a call, and maybe you can pick her up. So I said, sure, okay. So I called up Deb's house, and she said, yeah, that'd be nice, if have a ride.
Turner was her maiden name.
That was Deb's maiden name, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I married for love, and not last name.
And so we'd made arrangements that there was a spot where we were supposed to meet on this one particular corner in downtown Minneapolis. Picked up Deb, met her parents, drove down there. We got to this corner, and it turned out we didn't run into any of our other friends.
Nope.
Oh, that's
and so
funny.
We just ended up kind of stuck with each other, and we talked to each other and talked to each other quite a bit, and yep. decided that that was all right.
That was.
And so that was our sort of first date by accident, I guess.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it wasn't intentional by our friends either, that, you know, at one time, some people have always questioned whether or not the other people intentionally didn't show up. But that wasn't the case. It truly was by accident that we never ran into each other.
Yeah, they were on the other side or something. And
yeah, just lost in the crowd. And yeah. So we just started spending a lot of time together from then on.
Yep.
Oh, cool. So how long did you date? When did you get married?
Well, that was in July 1972.
Yep.
And we got married in January 1976.
You want to say what your mom said?
Yeah, my mom said about...
Who had a long courtship with her dad, his dad.
Okay.
My mom and dad dated for a very long time together. And so about 8 months before we got married, so this was like about 2 months before we got engaged, I'm at breakfast one morning with my mom. And I'm just sitting there eating my bacon and toast. And she looks at me and she says, "Jerry, it's time you either shit or get off the pot." And I kind of paused for a minute, and I said, "You know, Mom, I think I know what you're talking about." So Deb and I went shopping for a ring after that.
Okay, your mom was very influential.
Right.
And she felt like Deb was the right person for you.
Yep, very much so.
Right. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, that's really a sweet story.
I always appreciated that.
Yeah. So... you were at Mortenson for 24 years?
Right, yep.
Okay, and Deb, how long were you with this marketing firm? What was it called?
As the freelance marketing?
Yeah. Or the office the manager?
Oh, Dacomed.
Dacomed, yeah.
Was about 6 years.
6 years. Okay. And so how did the courtship fit in with where you guys were at as far as work? So you were stable in your job.
Yeah, I'd graduated from school and was out working for Mortenson for about a year and a half when we got married.
Right. Okay.
So I was really stable. And Deb was, you know, stable with her other...
Yeah, I was in...
More of a secretarial kind of job at that time, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was at the advertising agency.
So I
was,
yeah, that's right. You were doing the traffic control and
broadcast production, yeah.
Right.
Oh, before you were at Dacomed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys met.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm with you.
It was right after high school that we started hanging out.
You know, we were very fortunate that we were in a financial situation where we got married on a Friday night in January, flew to Hawaii on Saturday for a week-long honeymoon,
right.
Got back, you know, the following weekend, and on the next Monday, we closed on a new house that we had built and moved right in.
Right.
That... 3 months before we'd gotten married, we'd already made a down payment on this house to have it built for us. And so we were off to a very stable start right from the very beginning.
And this is your house in Eden Prairie?
It was our first house in Eden Prairie. We're in our third house in Eden Prairie right now.
Oh, okay.
All within a mile and a half of each other.
Right.
Similar to your mom's
right, experience. Yes. But I've always traveled a lot for work, though. So
yes.
That
right.
helps to feed your adventurous right. spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
I figure I've averaged over 75,000 miles a year for 25 years of airline travel.
Wow.
All domestic.
Okay. And you haven't tired of that?
No, but I haven't been traveling that much in the last couple of years, and that's okay, too. So either way is fine.
Yeah. And the Hawaii is kind of an ongoing theme throughout your life.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Where you had your honeymoon, and now you are still vacationing in Hawaii for...
Right, yeah. And we were back there at our 10th anniversary and 20th anniversary and mm-hmm. other times in between, and then now we go every year for 3 weeks each winter, and over the last... Well, since the early 90s, I've been involved in some construction work there, too.
Right.
That in the early 90s, Mortenson had an office there, and I would go there 3-4 times a year for different projects. And then after I left Mortenson, I've continued with some contacts there where I've been involved in several projects on Oahu and Kauai in recent years.
Okay. We met. And so, let's see, so if we bring it back to in the 70s then, you guys had started out really stable, you had nice jobs, you had good income coming in, then, so up until you started your business in 1990, mm-hmm. what was the longest you stayed with a company?
I think it was 6 years.
Okay.
I stayed at several about 6 years.
Okay. And the whole time, what was the theme of your work?
It would vary. And when it was stopping to be varied,
yeah,
was when it was time to move on.
Okay. So you got the experience that you wanted. And right. then as soon as you were feeling like, I'm done, this is not feeling right anymore, right. or I've learned as much as I can.
Right.
I'm going to move on.
Pretty much. At Dacomed, it was a situation where they were doing restructuring and I was let go. So I was home for a few months.
Okay.
And someone I had worked with at Dacomed knew someone who had a conference center and was looking for marketing communications help. And that kind of led to the first freelance, if you will, project.
Okay.
That created Pitsrigan. Well, at that point, it was Pitsrigan Associates.
Okay.
I was a sole proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it just kind of built.
So you built your business from marketing gigs?
Right.
Okay. And then we met in kind of as I was starting WeMentor
yep.
in the 90s and then formulated, changed my name. I was Nancy and Meyer and Associates and then went to WeMentor Inc. as an S corporation in 92.
Right.
And you ran the first peer mentoring, yep. you facilitated the first peer mentoring group.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we developed a really solid relationship.
Yep.
And eventually, it was probably within that year. I was talking with you a lot about my bookkeeping issues.
Yeah.
And not being able to keep on top of things. And so, you having your operations background, you started helping me out with that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So I started paying you for your freelance work with me
yes.
on your bookkeeping. And mm-hmm. then we had some other clients that you worked with.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to share about how you were experiencing that time?
I view starting thing, you know, helping people get things organized and getting started on that correct path to know how their business is doing as being one of the great joys, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think so many people go into business for themselves and don't understand the need for that structure and how it can really make things easier for them in the long run.
Yeah, I think that being organized with the operations,
right,
I just don't see running a solid business if you don't have that organized, and that's the least as the area in which entrepreneurs don't want to invest much money in.
Right, right, and it doesn't have to be massively time consuming. I mean, if you're setting up your chart of accounts, if you will, for your accounting process or your bookkeeping, you can personalize that so that it's meaningful to you.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at those numbers and the descriptor for it, it means something. It's not bookkeeping gobbledygook.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and how many... the other thing you were really great at is the emotional part.
Yeah.
You know, I was really, I didn't have much money training. I mean, I grew up in an entrepreneurial home, on a dairy farm, and that was the third business for my dad. He had started as a blacksmith doing welding jobs, and then he owned a tire company with a couple of his brothers, and then he always wanted to go back to the farm. I mean, my brother was paid for his work I wasn't, and not that because my dad was mean. It was because he felt like there was going to be a man taking care of me. But if I needed money, he always provided money for me. Mm-hmm. And same with my mom. But, you know, they had very clear roles, and still do. And you don't cross them very often unless you have to.
Right.
And so my money training when I started my business was the value of women's worth is free.
Yeah.
And so if I'm in a soft selling, soft skill leadership business, you know, how do you put value on that? And so I just remember you were really great with working with the emotional part of it and the fear that I was having around generating money and, mm-hmm. you know, cash flow. And as the business grows, you know, you got to keep paying people and they want raises. And, you know, just trying to keep on top of things and trying to figure out what this business is that I was in. Right. And so were you going through some of that yourself?
We'd gone through some of that. You know, I'd gone off on my own, you know, in 1990.
But I was still in a real stable position at Mortenson, right. And so, doing really well
so
there.
So it was so. Less of a...
So she didn't have the financial pressure, and so she could take some risks and take her time with getting right. the cash flow.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and I was single.
Right.
And yeah, different. So a different place. Right.
But, you know, I went into this, and, you know, I'd never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. I don't think a lot of people do.
No, most freelancers see themselves as freelancers,
right.
But anyone who's taking a risk with their personal finances to generate income to provide a livelihood mm-hmm. is considered an entrepreneur.
Right. We had good friends who had always been on their own and went to lunch with them when I went off on my own. And it was Dr. Larry Kuttner and his wife, Cheryl. And... they said, Larry's comment was, it's scarier from the other side. So just, you know what you want to do, get things organized and do it. And you'll find that it won't be as scary once you're actually doing it. Yeah. And that was a very good piece of advice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really solid.
And Deb was really energized at that time, too, yeah. that she was, you know, starting a new business. She started taking flying lessons. She got her private pilot's license during that same time period, those first couple of years. She started taking night classes at Metro U, started working towards getting a degree, tested out of a whole bunch of classes just because she was always a really good student in high school and all. And so, yeah, she was really flying.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's a real go-getter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so...
I think you've said I don't idle well.
Right. Yeah. I idle much better than she does.
And what do you attribute your success in your personal relationship with each other?
And we compliment wow. each other really well.
Yeah, we've always teased that between the two of us, we make one really good parent. and so that's part of it. You know, being a family of three and our daughter Stacy is just a wonderful part of us. And so...
And how old is she now?
She's 36 years old. She's on the autism spectrum and she lives with us. And we're just very fortunate that she does, mm-hmm. that it's great.
Makes a great family.
Right. And so, you know, a big part of it, though, is that we do complement each other. We're able to separate out our work from our personal lives, too. Mm-hmm. That we do that in kind of a unique way sometimes that we'll say, you know, like Deb does all the accounting stuff, and I'm the guy that's kind of out there freelancing, talking to a bunch of people. And she'll say, you know, that guy that I work with, he's really hard to get details out of, referring to me. And then I'll say, yeah, and the accounting department that I have to deal with is really a stickler. They want me to log phone calls. Can you imagine me logging phone calls?
So you brought some humor
right.
and a third person.
Right, exactly. Right. And so that's always worked really well for us. And we've just always been really good about having our separate space too from work and personal life. Like we each have our own office in our house, but we'll meet on the first floor and watch the Chew for lunch. Okay. And that's where we'll have our normal kind of lunch with each other, but we stay away from each other the rest of the time during the day because our work styles are so different, and that just allows us to be successful at what we're good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys are in work mode.
Right, right, yeah, right. Exactly, right, yeah. Right. That so many people, they think when you office out of your house that, you know, you're just kind of in your pajamas all day long and having an easy time of it. Well, you still need to have a set routine. You need to have some structure to your workplace and your time use and all that. And Deb's especially good at that. I've learned to be much better at that, right.
That's sweet. Good. All right. Let's finish this. I was wondering if you guys would be willing to come back for a third session.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Because what I would like to talk about is how you handle money and how your business has changed over the years.
Okay.
Because you started with Pitzrick and Associates as a marketing and kind of a operations firm.
Right.
Yeah, and it's transitioned since then, and I think that Definitely. That's worth another conversation.
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for being here again, and we'll see you soon.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.